Excellent. Afterwards, we'll split into breakout groups as we like to do when we come together to meet with each other. So, Sue, over to you. Looking forward to you kicking off this series.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you. Thank you, Louise. This is interesting because I'm on my computer. And normally I just come to church on my tablet, but now I'm on my computer. I can actually see more people, which is nice. And if I scroll along, I can see almost everybody. So this sort of get a bit of, slight interaction almost, which is a bit of a challenge, when you have to speak into a blank screen. But anyway, so Trevor and I met for a few times to discuss and pray about the next preaching series, and we came up with the idea of focusing on Jesus, which of course is Jesus being the focal point of our faith, and leading up to Easter also. And Trevor was actually going to do this talk as the introduction, but because he's not well, he's not doing it. So I haven't sent him a card or a gift or a bunch of flowers or anything. So my gift to Trevor is I'm doing his talk for him. But no doubt I shall do it in a slightly different way, but that's okay. So I've been captivated by the Lord Jesus probably since the age of about four, when I saw pictures, when I used to go to Sunday school and saw pictures of Jesus in a picture book and was drawn to this person. And then when I was about eight at school, I went to a Catholic primary school, and at the age of eight, going into the school chapel and sensing the presence of God with me. And then at the age of 11, reading the Bible, which my father had given me, and looking at, and as I was reading the Bible, realizing that I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I can remember saying it, "I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God," at the age of 11. And then at the age of 18, giving my life to the Lord at university and realizing that when Jesus became not only Savior but Lord of my life, then my life was going to change. And I wasn't going to be the same. So this sort of gradual encounter with Jesus, who is the expression of who God is. And I wanted to start with that because I think it's so important for us to realize that Jesus loves children as well as loving adults. And that when he said, "Let the little children come unto me," that was a really important statement. That Jesus is for the whole family. So I wonder if we could go to the first slide, Louise. Thank you very much. Yeah. And so these are just a few thoughts, really, as an introduction. So in the preaching series, we're going to look at the life and the teaching of Jesus from different perspectives, whether that's his compassion or his justice or his relationships or his disciples. And then, of course, going up to Easter, we'll be looking at the cross and the resurrection and on towards Pentecost. So, Trevor, as we were discussing the person of Jesus, Trevor shared how moved he's been by the idea of Jesus being the Son of Man, being not only divine but human, lived in a human form, so God with us, and the incarnation. And so I'm going to mention that in a minute. But I want to read from a scripture, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I think it's one of the dramatic moments in the New Testament. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 21. So this is after Jesus has been baptized, after God the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in him I'm well pleased." After Jesus gets full of the Holy Spirit, led into the wilderness and is tempted by the devil. And he comes back from the wilderness and begins to preach around the countryside and in the synagogues. And in chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, when he'd been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" And of course, that's Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. And you can just see Jesus reading it out and looking at everybody. And then he rolls the scroll up, gives it to the attendant, and sat down. And then everybody's looking at him. What's he going to say next? And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And maybe they didn't really know what he was saying, because some of what he said about his own person and his own character was kind of hidden and veiled. He didn't go around saying, "Hey, look, fellows, I'm the Son of God, you know, listen to me, or watch me. I'm the big guy. I'm the best. I'm the big cheese." He didn't say those things. When he was talking about who he was, it was kind of in a veiled way. But what he was doing was he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, which was the way that the kingdom was going to affect everybody else, that there was hope for the future, that people would get changed, and there would be good news to the poor, and people would be saved and delivered and helped. And Luke 4, verse 43 is Jesus proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Can we go to the next slide, please? Thank you very much. I can remember being at Bible college and just getting captivated by the life and the teaching of Christ series that we did, and looking at Jesus, his title, Son of God and Son of Man. We believe as Christians that Jesus was God in the flesh. He was not only God, he was not only divine, but he was also human. And this dual nature, if you like. So it was interesting to me that the Son of God title, Jesus didn't use that about himself, but others used it about him. Matthew said that I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, in the Transfiguration. Martha, before Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb, she said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Nathaniel, in the beginning of John, said, "I believe that you are the Son of God." And in Luke 4, even the demons said, "You are the Son of God." Later on in chapter 4, after Jesus had spoken the words from Isaiah 61, he's preaching in Galilee, and evil spirits are coming out of people. And one in verse 41, a demon came out of many saying, "You are the Son of God." So everybody else was saying, "You're the Son of God." And he wasn't being so much saying that. What Jesus used more was he was using the title Son of Man. It was used 80 times in the four Gospels. For example, Matthew chapter 8, verse 21. And it's a very enigmatic title, Jesus, the Son of Man. What does it mean to be the Son of Man? Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. "A scribe approached him and said, 'Jesus, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And the same verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 58. Could we go on to the next slide, please? Jesus identified with humanity. Luke 7, verse 34 is the one where he says, yeah, the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, even though John the Baptist was coming fasting, I think. Let's go to that. Luke chapter 7, verse 38. Let me see. Sorry, I can't see it. 34. John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Nevertheless, wisdom is vindicated by all her children. He identified with humanity. And Luke chapter 2 is the verse where it talks about Jesus as a child, as a boy of 12, going into the temple and asking questions of the rabbis, and how his parents had to go looking for him. And then he was obedient to them. They found him, and he went down with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all those things in her heart. And it says in verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and divine and human favor. So he grew and developed, just like our children are growing and developing. So he experienced what we experience in terms of just being human. And I think that's really encouraging for me, that I know that whatever I've been through, Jesus has understood it. We know that verse in Hebrews says, where it says Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses, even though he was without sin, but he knows what it's like to have been tempted, because he lived a human life just as we do. So whether we're a child or whether we're adult, whether we're old, whether we're male or female, whether we're black or white, whatever culture, whatever nationality we come from, somehow we can know that Jesus identifies with us and what we've been through, what we go through, what sufferings we go through, what difficulties we go through. And the title, the Son of Man, is related specifically to his suffering. He actually prophesied his own suffering. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. So he predicted his death, and he predicted his rising from the dead. And in that way, we know that he identifies with our suffering because he suffered in a way that no one else did. And to think that actually God in the flesh suffered for our sins is amazing to me. And that he understands me. And the Son of Man is related to his glory. Jesus talks about coming again in glory. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Talks about those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father. And chapter 13, verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. So it has this messianic implication, even though Jesus is not saying, look, guys, I'm the Son of God. He actually does it in a third person narrative, he says, when you see the Son of Man coming in the power, coming in the glory with great power. And he's talking about the future, about Jesus coming again as the Lord. So often his referrals to being the Son of God or being the Messiah is sort of in the third person or veiled. Could we have the final slide, please? The Jesus of history is also the Christ of experience and the Christ of the creeds. So the Jesus of history, actually, and I haven't got time to go into it now, but actually Jesus Christ as a historical figure is probably the most documented historical proof of pretty much any historical figure that you could think of. This, if you look at the Gospels and then the first century writers and historians like Josephus and others, and I'm not really a theologian, but there are more evidences and proofs for the existence of Jesus Christ as a historical figure than most other figures in history. But he's not only the Jesus of history, he's not only a historical figure, he's not only a man, a person, a human, he's also God in the flesh and now back in heaven. And we'll talk about that more later as we go through the series. But he's not only the Jesus of history, he's the Christ of experience, my experience, the Christ, the Saviour, my Lord, my friend, my Saviour, the one who died on the cross for me. He's the Christ of the creeds, the Nicene Creed. You know, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. And the Jesus of history becomes the Christ of my experience through the Holy Spirit. And that's where I think the importance of John's Gospel, especially 14 to 17, teaches us about Jesus teaching us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, bringing the truth of Jesus to us when we become a Christian and as Christians, continually teaching us the truths of Jesus to our lives today. So I hope that this series will inspire us, even though we may have been Christians for years and years, that we might be inspired to fall in love with Jesus again as our brother, as our friend, as our closest friend, and as our Saviour and Lord. And that actually that fresh encounter with Jesus this springtime will actually change us again, that, you know, that actually you don't meet Jesus and remain unchanged. Things change when you meet Jesus. Amen.